And we turn in our scripture reading this morning to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Reading together the whole of the chapter. A very difficult passage and yet an awesome and a wonderful passage pointing very clearly forward to our Savior Jesus Christ. So Genesis chapter 22. Beginning reading at verse 1 and reading through the end of the chapter. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. Then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham the second time out of heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Now it came to pass after these things that it was told Abraham, saying, Indeed, Milcah also has borne children to your brother Nahor, Huz, his firstborn, Buz, his brother, Kemuel, the father of Aram, Chesed, Hazel, Pildash, Jidlaph, and Bethuel. And Bethuel begot Rebekah. These eight Milcah bore to Nahor, Abraham's brother. His concubine, whose name was Remuah, also bore Teba, Gaham, Thahash, and Maacah. Thus far the reading of God's word. May he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we look at this well-known passage of God's word, we're perhaps astonished at the trial to which God puts Abraham. We who have the rest of the Bible know that God abhors human sacrifice. He hates it. But Abraham didn't have Leviticus and Numbers to tell him that. In fact, human, particularly child sacrifice, was very much the norm in Abraham's time and in the peoples around Abraham. But this is a trial we can't even begin to imagine, to be asked to sacrifice our only son. But this is what God required of Abraham. And what, according to the writers to the Hebrews, he did. His son was not the most important thing to Abraham. God was. What is more important than that was that it was Abraham's only son, but it was the son that was chosen by God. All the promises of God to Abraham and to all people are wrapped up in this son of Abraham. And Abraham is called to kill, to sacrifice the son of promise, trusting God, not his own understanding of the situation. This is the focus we need to have in trials. This is the hope that we must have when God's word tells us to do things that directly contradict what our own brain and heart tell us. That God is all wise. That his way will always be best. No matter how rocky, how hard the road, God will provide, as we read. In fact, he will be glorified and we will be built up and provided for as we walk the pathway he calls us to walk. But when we go our own way, I can't give you that promise. And so as we look at this passage, the theme of our passage, the theme that we want to see in God's word this morning is God refines the faith of his children through testing. God refines the faith of his children through testing. In verses 1 through 3, we see that God tests his people. In verses 3 through 10, we see that God's people respond in faith. And in verses 11 through 19, we see that God provides a substitute. God tests his people. Count it all joy, James writes in James chapter 1, when you fall into various trials. We need to count it joy, not every time we have a trouble, say, God, get me out of this. But God, teach me what you have for me in this testing. We see that Abraham here is tested as a parent, as the person who had received God's promises. God calls Abraham to take his son, his only son, whom he loves, and sacrifice him. Now, very interesting. We talked about last week that Abraham had another son, Ishmael. But God had had Abraham send him off. And so God is the agent by which Abraham had only one son. God forces this trial, this test, to a point. And he makes the trial all the more difficult for Abraham. And God puts a point on it, doesn't he? Your only son, whom you love. God is testing Abraham's love for and Abraham's faith in God. What did Jesus say? He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Does Abraham have an idol here in his son, the son of God's promise? Is Abraham placing his love for Isaac above his love for God? And we have to be very careful as well that we do not put our love for a child or for a parent over our love for God. This is a test of a difficulty that I never hope to endure. As parents, we love our children. We would do almost anything for them. To give up a child hurts terribly. And I'm not even one who can start to begin to talk about it. I know there are those around who have experienced that. Notice that God doesn't ask of you and Matt anything more than he has done. He gave his son. He bound the cross on his back as Abraham bound the wood on his son's back. But as Abraham is not only being asked to give up his own son, he is being told of God to sacrifice him, to be the agent of his death. This is trial beyond measure. God tests us, doesn't he? Too often our culture, as soon as anything gets hard, I got to get out of this somehow, where do I go out? God tells us that we will be tried, That in sending us these trials, God is dealing us with us as with children, teaching us, perfecting us. Hebrews 12:7-8, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. The crux of this test was beyond just being tried as a parent. This test was a test of trust in God, in relationship to God's promises. Abraham had heard the promises of God that they were to be through this child. They were wrapped up in this child. It was for the reason of God's promises that Abraham had been called to get rid of Ishmael. And God's promises of land, seed, and Savior, the promised land, the promised descendants, the promised particular seed of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, would come through this child, we're told. Abraham had been told. And now Abraham is told to sacrifice him. Abraham was to put his hope in the promise of God and then kill the child by which the promise was to come, trusting God. And what does James say? James 1:2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. We must know that the testing of our faith produces patience, that patience has its perfect work, making us complete and perfect, complete unto salvation. When trials come upon us, we may not say, God is not in this trial. We must say, how may I glorify God in this trial? When in trials, we may hope that God is perfecting us for salvation and that God will use this trial for His glory. God tests His people. He tries us. And that we're perfected by God's testing unto eternal life. Of course, it's not that our works save us, but that God uses those trials and tests to perfect the faith which He is working in us. Now we look at how God's people respond. Because there's two responses, isn't there? Abraham could have said, I don't think so, God. God's people respond in faith to His testing. As we look at Abraham's response, we're amazed at his now having learned faith. And as we look over the past chapters, we see Abraham, when testing, always finds a way to mess it up. And like you and I that way, don't we? He has at times obeyed God, but that obedience was usually mixed with doubting, unfaithfulness. When he moved to Palestine from Ur, he had only moved part of the way. And then when his father died, then he moved on to Palestine. Upon arriving, he regularly told the lie that Sarah was his sister instead of his wife, for fear that the people would kill him for his wife. Not to mention that he had married his servant Hagar, and the mess and the pain that had brought to pass. But as we look at Abraham in our passage, he has learned to trust. We read in verse 3, so Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men and with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. We see that he rises up early. He saddles his donkey. He heads out with Isaac and with the firewood. He doesn't wait to see how the weather is going to be or whether or not God would give him a new word later on in the day. He gets up early and heads out in obedience to God. In spite of the trials and the difficulties involved, as we have noted above, Abraham has learned to trust God to do His will. He rose up early. Abraham even has hope for the future. We see this in verse 5, and again later in verse 8. The Lord will provide a sacrifice, he says. He has been fully convinced of God. He had seen God working in the past. He had learned that God's word is true, and that God provides in all circumstances, no matter how difficult, no matter how crazy. God is in control of all things, so we must trust Him. Paul comments on this in Romans 4, verses 20 through 22. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith,
giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Being fully convinced, we just read. No matter what, that God would provide. God would work out his will and be glorified. We see Abraham's obedience as we read through these verses. They head up the mountain. Abraham binds his own son on the altar. Abraham's obedience was full obedience. We read in verses 9 and 10, the knife was in the air for the death blow. Abraham had learned to trust God and to be obedient. We read in Hebrews 11, verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. We read, Abraham offered up his only begotten son. He had learned to trust God by seeing God's previous dealings with him. This is why we must read and why we must know the Old Testament. We learn from God's dealings with his people. Yeah, sometimes we have to learn from the school of hard knocks. I'm pretty good at trying to get on that one. But we must learn to trust God in all situations. As we see his dealings with his people in the past, we learn how to trust God. We learn how to respond in faith. We're called to see Abraham, and we're called to respond to God's testing in faith. And now we look at verses 11 through 19, and we see that God provides the substitute. As we remember, Abraham has his hand stretched out with the knife to slay his son. Verse 11, and the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. God stops Abraham. God prevents Abraham from actually finally sacrificing. In place of Isaac, God provides a substitutionary sacrifice. God provides a sacrifice in our place. God provides, we read in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The same offering that was required of Abraham, God has done. He sent his well-beloved, his only begotten son to the cross. As Isaac carried the wood up the mountain for his sacrifice, Christ carried the cross for his own sacrifice. God, who loves his son perfectly, better than any father on earth can love his own child, God offered his son. And God promises to Abraham a blessing. Abraham lifted up his eyes. We saw that. Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mountain of the Lord, it shall be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. God promises his blessing through obedience. This doesn't sound like a way in which you get more kids killing your own kid, right? And what does God do? God provides the blessing that Abraham would be the father of many nations. We read in Daniel reflecting the same idea. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom is one that shall not be destroyed. We have that fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And so Abraham was promised a physical blessing, but through him, we read in verse 18, in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. And so we have this pointing forward to the Savior. We have this trial for Abraham, which was for him a hugely difficult trial. And yet through it, Abraham was very obedient. And God provided. And so often we think we got to do it our way. Because if I do it my way, I get what I want out of it, right? Does that usually work out that way? It doesn't, does it? Guess what? When we do it God's way, good things come out of it. And I don't care how much we think those things are trials and hardship. If it is in God's will that we have trial and hardship, then as we've said, we trust God in it. But brothers and sisters, we need to know, we need to understand that even when God's word directly contradicts what our heart and our brain is telling us, God is all wise. He will work it out the best. No matter how tough, no matter how rocky, He will be glorified and we will be provided for and built up. And that's the theme as we look at this passage. God refines the faith of His children through testing. No trial is something that we rejoice at the time. But trials, the writer to the Hebrews tells us, have their perfect work. And we are called to see that that work is truly good. God refines His children, the faith of His children, through testing. And God tests us. We know that. We need to realize that. That we are called to respond in faith. And that God provides the substitute, the final salvation, the blessing. Amen. Let us rise, let us bow before our God in prayer. And we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You that You tell us beforehand that we will endure testing. And we pray, O Lord, that we would not run from that testing, that we would not run looking for the easy way out, but that we would submit to Your testing, knowing that it will have its perfect work, that You are refining us as You refine silver and gold. And we pray, Lord, even as we look at Abraham and we see this trial, which we can barely imagine, yet, Lord, we know that You are He who provided for him nations upon nations of children, but above and beyond that, that through Him, through His seed, the gospel was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that as we struggle, as we experience trials and hardships in this life, that we would put our trust in You, and that we would get up early in the morning to stand and to walk that way which You have called us, knowing that even the way of trial is the way of blessing, the way of glory to Your name. And so, Lord, we pray that we might look to Abraham's greater son, to Jesus Christ, who bore His own cross, who bore the penalty of our sins upon that cross. And we thank You, Lord Jesus, that we may be washed in Your blood and cleansed from all of our sins. We know the end of this matter, and may we glorify You for it. For we pray these things in Jesus' name, praying as He taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.